From the very beginning of the questions surrounding the Baltimore City speed camera program, the Baltimore Sun has been on this, looking at first questions surrounding a few erroneous tickets that were sent out, including one to a motorist who was sitting still at a traffic light, and it expanded to include five speed cameras that were identified as being problems, have sitting on erroneous tickets. Now we find out more. Joining us is Luke Broadwater, who's been on this story from the very beginning. Hey, Luke, how you doing, my friend?
Great. How are you, C4?
Look, this story is blasting, and the reason it's blasting and the reason I'm talking about this, and I looked at the comments from members of the city council, from Brandon Scott to Robert Curran to Carl Stokes, is that for an audit of this type, a public audit, to be kept private, we can get into the details of it, but that in and of itself smacks of problems.
Yes, I mean, I think that's the thing that perhaps outrages some members of the council most, is that if the audit had been made public immediately upon receipt, which would have been last April, I think you could have had this all out then, put it all out in the open. But to have it come out nearly a year later, after repeated refusals by the administration to release it, even threats of a subpoena recently have been made, I think that's what really has irked some people over this story.
Our own Steve Vermeer from WBL News spoke with Regina Avarella, who from AAA Mid-Atlantic, who was a member of the mayor's task force, and she didn't even know about, she knew there was an audit, but she wanted it released, didn't know that they were keeping the secret. Bottom line is, so many people that were close to this didn't know that this audit was going to be kept secret.
I mean, that's true. We, we had only heard about the audit recently. We didn't even know it existed. And then once we heard about it, we started asking for it, and we filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the city. That was denied. You saw City Solicitor George Nilsen's comments on his reasoning why he believed it should be denied and the advice he gave the mayor as to why it should be denied. Then you had multiple members of the council calling for the audit. Again, their requests were denied. And finally, we were able to get it through a leak.
Like good reporters do. Anyway, but Luke, let me ask you this, because to me this is another important element of this story, because I know how the processes work. When the city agreed to this $2.3 million settlement with Xerox, they did not take this in front of the Board of Public Works for a vote by the five-member board, which is chaired by the president of the city council, but the mayor controls three out of five votes. The question I have behind is, you have Joan Pratt's comments in your article, is if they had taken this agreement, then the whole five-member board would have seen this audit, right?
Well, I think I'm not sure about that. I mean, city law is pretty clear that if you have a settlement of above $50,000, that needs to be approved by the Board of Estimates. Now, I think they're trying to classify that settlement somewhat differently. I believe they're calling it like a closeout agreement, but if you read it, it says settlement over and over and over again, and it's repeatedly referred to as a settlement. So the comptroller is raising this issue of this should. By law, this should have been approved by the Board of Estimates. Whether or not they would have fully informed the board of all the problems, I'm not sure of. In the past, the board members have been asked to vote on things without full information. In fact, the city council is often asked to vote on things without getting all the information.
Yeah, that's not new. But here's my point, though, Lucas. I know where you're going with that, but here's what I'm saying. If the five-member board knew of what the details were of the settlement, according to George Nilsen, in your piece he says a part of the settlement is an agreement not to release the audit, then questions may have been asked in a public forum that we didn't know about.
That's true. Yes, part of the agreement is the secrecy clause, so-called secrecy clause, and that could have been vetted and questioned publicly had it gone before the board. That's a fair point to make.
And that's why I'm saying that this whole thing is based upon the suggestions of the city solicitor that all this public information, and I'm not asking you to have an opinion necessarily on this, but one of the problems, and I'm sure you found this and you've been asking questions and references, all this public information is somehow deemed private by the city, and it's not. It's public information.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people see a taxpayer-funded audit. They see it dealing with a problem that has affected many taxpayers. That's regular Joes driving down the street, getting tickets, whether they're right or wrong, and being asked to pay them. And we're talking about millions of dollars coming into city government. So there's a large taxpayer interest in this. And to withhold the audit is why so many people, I feel, are reacting this way that they are this morning.
Senator Jim Broach, and finally, we have Luke Broadwater on from the Baltimore Sun. His explosive piece, Secret Audit, found city speed cameras had high error rates, is on the C4 page at WBAL.com. Senator Jim Broach has some legislation in Annapolis in reference to speed cameras, but also in your piece, he's looking at the fact that Xerox is operating in Baltimore County and Howard County, and he says some questions need to be asked about out there as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point to make. One of the reasons it's possible to analyze the city's tickets is because they have an accurate timestamp on them. What the other jurisdictions have done is make the timestamps on the tickets so vague and imprecise that it's impossible to fact check. So we literally can't do what we did in Baltimore City with Baltimore County's tickets. We can't take a batch from them and look at whether they're accurate or not. It's impossible to tell. And it's impossible for any citizen to tell and any judge to tell. So they have set up a system that can't be fact checked, and motorists are sort of just forced to pay without knowing whether or not the ticket is valid.
Well, Luke Broadwater, once again, great job. I am on this, and I think you're going to hear a lot of different people in public policy positions dealing with your piece. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.